Hello, everybody. You're listening to a preview of a premium episode of Blocked and Reported. You're going to hear us talk a little bit about this controversy involving Sweet Baby Inc. That's a company involved in the games world that has come under fire. If you go to blockedandreported.org and become a premium subscriber, you can hear the rest of the episode where I talk more about Gamergate. I both respond to some criticisms I got for our last episode on it. And I talk about the time the UN, the United Nations, got involved in Gamergate in part by producing a very memorable document. So go to blockedandreported.org if you want to hear all that. Thank you and hope you enjoy the preview. All right, let's get to this latest controversy. It involves Sweet Baby Ink.
And that is what?
It is just this Sweet Baby. It's ink you wring out of... Okay. This is a company which bills itself as a, quote, narrative development and consultation studio based in Montreal and working around the globe. Our mission is to tell better, more empathetic stories while diversifying and enriching the video games industry. We aim to make games more engaging, more fun, more meaningful, and more inclusive for everyone. So I first caught wind of, I don't think I'd heard of this company, but I caught wind of this controversy I'm about to tell you about when I saw an employee from Sweet Baby Inc. tweeting about a group on Steam. Do you know what Steam is?
Yes, I have been to their offices.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Why? Why did you get to go?
Because I used to be a journalist in Seattle.
But you don't write about games. Okay, tell us what Steam is if you've been there.
It's a big fucking office. It's a big building in Bellevue. And they, instead of here's what I remember about it. Instead of having everybody has their own office or their own cubicle, they have like roving. You can sit wherever you want.
They have hot desks? That's what you remember, the hot desks?
Hot desks. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Is Steam based in Seattle?
It's based in Bellevue.
Are we talking about the same Steam?
Yes.
What's your interest? I want you to tell me, stop stalling. What do they do?
They are a company. They make, it's like a platform for gaming, for buying games.
Oh, that was actually pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote a fucking story about them. I met the guy. What's the guy's name?
Gabe Newell.
Yeah.
Big beardy guy?
Yeah. Maybe I didn't meet him. I can't remember if I met him or not. But anyway, I wrote a story.
How high were you during this?
This was in about 2017, so very.
I'm really mad you got to see the Steam office. I'm not usually this much of a nerd, but like, and it's so wasted on you. I'm like, what did you see there? What did they say? Oh, the desks?
First, I had to Google what Steam was. Yeah, I'm sure they thought I was an absolute fucking moron. But yes, I did go to their offices. I do know what they are.
Okay.
It's Steam, and there's another company, like a game development company. Valve. Yeah, Valve. That's right.
See, I just know this off the top of my head. Yeah. Steam is basically this giant platform for video games. You download them, you review them, you talk about them. Do you have a Steam username?
Oh, you know where else I went for that story? I went to a rehab center for gamers.
Really? It was like about gaming addiction?
Yeah, it was basically like in the woods outside Seattle, and it was surprise, all teen boys. And they did things like read books on paper and play piano and not have phones. Huh,
that sounds awful. My view is gamers shouldn't be forced into rehab, but we should have safe gaming sites where they can just game without hurting anybody. So basements, basically.
This was not that. Yes, basements.
Do you think if you did have a Steam username, it would be Moose69420? Or would you come up with something better than that?
It would be jsingle69.
So, on Steam, you can create like a list of games. It's a curating function. I'm just going to call this a group. It's basically a group. So, there was this group called Sweet Baby Inc. Detected. When I first started working on this episode, it had almost 120,000 followers. Now, a couple weeks later or so, it has almost 350,000. The point of this group is simply, quote, for letting people know if a game is involved with this company. It was created by a Brazilian guy named Cabrutus. That's Cabrutus. Do you understand what the point of this group is? It's literally just a list of games?
No, I don't understand. Is this like a Discord, like they're talking about the games, or it's just...
They have a Discord, but the only point of this list of games is these are games that Sweet Baby Inc. worked on.
Okay, got it.
So, and for some reason, the first thing that came into my head when I saw this was, do you remember Shingami Eyes?
Yes, unfortunately.
This is a browser add-on that highlights transphobic and trans-friendly social network pages and users with different colors. So, actually, wait, let's search ourselves.
Oh, I am sure we're on that list.
Oh.
It's very dumb. It's like you put this thing in your browser, and then if you go to like Jesse's Twitter page, his tweets are in red.
Right. So the sample, I'm not installing,
which I know
shit.
Because I have it.
Right. The sample page, Everyday Feminism. God, do you remember Everyday Feminism?
Oh, classic.
That deserves like a 5-episode arc. Everyday Feminism.
we started this podcast too late. We should have been around when the real loons were still had places on the internet.
So Everyday Feminism is in green. The Family Research Council is in red. Shirley, Katie Herzog, and Jesse Siegel are in red. This is if you don't have the time or you're too easily traumatized to make decisions for yourself, you outsource your thinking to a random internet developer who tells you who is good and who is bad.
Right. Anytime you see red, you just block.
You just block. I can't, you don't want to be exposed to stuff you disagree with.
No.
So this is sort of the anti-SJW equivalent of that, is here's a list of all the games this company worked on, not necessarily with any evidence there's anything wrong with the games, but we want to make an enemies list of video games because we don't like Sweet Baby Inc.
And why don't people like Sweet Baby Inc.? I mean, you did in your, when you were reading their bio or whatever, you did use the term inclusive, so I can die.
We hate inclusion. This part gets pretty fuzzy pretty quickly. People are spreading all sorts of rumors about, I'm just going to call it SBI. I can't keep saying Sweet Baby Inc. I don't like the name. And they're blaming it for various games getting like ruined. And ruin seems to range from a game being bad to like a subset of crazy people who don't like when certain characters or certain races. I don't think they're close to the majority. All these rumors are pretty short on details. But what has unified this group and brought it many new members is concrete proof that this one employee at SBI tried to destroy this Steam page. Katie, read these tweets from a guy named Chris Kindred.
The Steam curator harassment group Sweet Baby Inc. Detected is led by this person.
It's led by this person
at Cabrutus Rambo. Here's them trying to be slick so they don't get reported, even with the discriminatory language filed off. The group itself still fails the code of conduct. I need you to interpret this for me.
I mean, he's just...
Speak gamer to me.
He's just trying to claim this group is inherently harassing and violates the Steam terms of service and should be removed. So continue reading the tweets, please.
Anyway, report the... This is blacked out. Shit? Fuck? Is it a bad word?
I think it's probably the N-word, so you should read that.
I don't think he said the N-word, Jesse. But I will if you want me to. And report the creator since he loves this account so much.
Okay, so you get what's happening here, right? You have an enemies list of games that have some connection to SBI, and then there's an attempt to ban the enemies list, and this...
By someone at SBI.
Yeah, so this really pisses people off, specifically, not people, gamers, so even worse than people. The Steam group, trying to get this Steam group removed is ridiculous. You can agree with it or disagree with it. I think it's pretty knee-jerk, but consumers have a right to be stupid and knee-jerk. And it clearly seems like Kindred was not only trying to get the group removed, but this Cabrutus's guy Steam account banned, which I think would mean he'd lose access to all the games he'd bought, which could be thousands of dollars. So
might be good for him.
Yeah. Doing him a favor. So because
the block is free, folks.
So this becomes a big new cause for Gamergaters, to the extent there are any remaining Gamergaters, but also for all sorts of anti-woke folks. The Steam group itself enjoys the ultimate Streisand effectification, swelling to 350,000 people from 10,000. And now countless more people are also aware of Sweet Baby and its supposedly controversial nature than used to be.
Okay, so let's back up. Why is Sweet Baby Inc. controversial other than the fact that they use the word inclusive in their bio?
Right. So, okay, games are big business these days. So-called AAA game developer studios, they're sprawling enterprises. They're often much more expensive to make than a big Hollywood film. If you're working on a game, you can technically hire SBI on as a consultant. I shouldn't say often. The biggest games are more expensive than some movies. You can hire SBI on as a consultant to help you craft the game's narrative. Some people in the games industry, folks who will not say this publicly under their own names, are actually skeptical of this idea in a general sense. So I got an email from a listener who has a lot of experience in big-time game development. He wrote that, quote, "The concept of a narrative design consultancy firm is nonsensical on its face. And this is important since part of this ludicrous debate has revolved around accurately judging what SBI really is, what it really does, and the fairness or insanity of the accusations leveled against it."
So why does he say that this idea is nonsensical?
He wrote like a detailed email. I'll just read key bits. He created a list of reasons it's nonsensical. One, there's almost no AA, AAA, so big game, whose value as an IP, intellectual property, isn't significantly wrapped up in its story concept and its narrative design. Having control over the story elements of your game not only a principal reason people start their own studios, but displaying a mastery and delivery of that story is absolutely fundamental to getting anyone with half a brain to give you the millions of dollars you need to make a game.
Okay, so he's saying, like, the game developers themselves, they're the people who should be creating the narrative.
Yeah, he's saying, like, especially if you're doing a big game and you need investors and you want to move units, this idea that you're going to outsource your story to someone else doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it seems almost like sort of like screenwriters outsourcing the screenwriting part of the process.
Yeah, and actually we're going to get to that comparison in a minute, but let me just keep reading. Two, the idea that you'd hire a company to outsource narrative decisions makes zero sense. As a game studio, you outsource the bullshit you don't like, aren't good at, or don't have the scale to complete yourself to companies. Background art, background sound, coding better controls that are outside of your studio's core competencies, for example, Game studios are super jealous and protective of their characters and stories. They hold an enormous amount of pride in having created them. This is even truer concerning new IPs that are being developed from scratch, because if successful, these stories and characters promise to make the whole team rich. Would you think to give such decisions to an outside company? So you understand that, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, because I'm not a gamer, I don't really understand how this, because I'm a girl, I don't really understand how this stuff works, but I'm assuming that the initial people who are creating the game, like the creative geniuses behind the game, are what they're doing is creating that narrative themselves. They're not necessarily the people who are good at actually breaking the game into its component parts, doing the coding and all of that stuff. The creators are the creatives.
Yeah. Now, a big team has different people. There are coders who could not write a good story to save their life, and there are writers who could not code. So one of the most successful games of recent years, Elden Ring, they brought on George R. R. Martin to help them with the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he's not a random consultancy firm. He's one of the most successful authors on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets to point three, quote, if a studio is genuinely in trouble with their game's narrative, they hire a person, not a firm, a person with a sterling reputation as an ass kicker with a long pedigree in solving problems in other games. This person comes in and integrates into the team, even if on an ad hoc freelance basis. They produce product for the game, i.e. cinematic and level scripts and story synopses that are expected to be measurably better than what can be created internally. I used one particular writer on our project, an ass kicker both in the games world and as a writer in Hollywood, who was absolutely amazing. This is the way you up narrative quality. And this reminded me of the idea of like a script doctor. You've heard the term script doctor?
Mm-hmm.
This is like if you have a screenplay you're trying to develop and it's there's some issues with it, you would hire, there's like these expert famous script doctors within Hollywood who can punch up your script. But again, that's different from being, let's just find a narrative design consultancy firm to work with this.
Okay, gotcha. And do you find this anonymous bar pod listener nerd credible?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure because I don't know much about the ins and outs of games development. I forwarded parts of his email to someone I know who's also an experienced game developer. Their response was, yeah, he's basically right. One exception he raised was like mobile games where the story doesn't matter at
Woodblock.
All.
Woodblock.
Yeah.
Woodblock does have a story.
Right. But that's the kind of thing.
It's about moving blocks.
Okay. Why do the blocks need to be moved?
Because when you move the blocks, they disappear.
No, right. That's not the plot, though. That's just the game. Tell me why do the blocks need to be moved?
So that they disappear.
Okay. So that kind of amazing story you could outsource to a...
George R. R. Martin actually wrote the story for Woodblock. And then the blocks all fuck each other and they're actually siblings. It's crazy.
Wow. This is... I am going to play this game.
Yeah.
But the second person I ran this by... there was one element he thought the initial correspondent should have emphasized more, and that was fear.
What? Explain.
So, yeah, the games industry has often had plenty of these blowups. Sometimes a game will get shellacked for not having enough diversity. Either the dev team isn't diverse enough, or the game itself doesn't have diverse enough characters, or they slip on some other banana peel.
The woodblocks are all brown.
The woodblocks are all like these ugly caricatures of Jews. that's why you play it. Oy vey, don't disappear. And like as with any area involving social justice, sometimes the complaints are valid, sometimes they're wacky, and there are a lot of damned if you do, damned if you don't situations. So maybe you're making a fantasy game and it takes place in sort of a medieval Polish inspired setting. You're probably not going to have a lot of black people. You're probably not going to have a lot of black characters or openly trans characters in that story. Like the same way if the setting was sort of Africa inspired, you wouldn't have a lot of white people. That would feel pandering and inauthentic. There was actually just a Times article about that. But if you say that publicly, like, no, this particular setting is mostly white, a group of people will yell at you and try to get your game ruined. But then if you say, okay, we'll throw in some diversity, here's the black Polish character, another group of people will yell at you and try to get your game ruined. And because these are staggeringly low stakes, purely symbolic disputes, of course, the internet's worst nerds on both sides treat them like matters of life and death.
Okay, so you've got this huge multi-billion dollar industry, these games that cost so much money to make, and people on the internet will yell about the dumbest possible things involving the games and try to ruin them.
Yeah, that's the short version.
Okay, and so and where does Sweet Baby fit into this?
Okay, so I don't know the exact order of events here, but basically the way I saw it unfold, this Chris Kindred guy tries to get Sweet Baby Inc. detected banned. Then people start circulating this clip from a 2019 talk Kim Belair, now the co-founder of Sweet Baby Inc., gave at a major conference for game developers. In this talk, she's basically, you know, discussing things from the point of view of someone who cares about diversity and representation and works in the game industry in that capacity. And she's giving advice on basically how to get other members of a team, a AAA team, a big video games team, to care about these subjects.
If you're a creative working in AAA, which I did for many, many years, put this stuff up to your higher-ups. And if they don't see the value in what you're asking for when you ask for consultants, when you ask for research, go have a coffee with your marketing team and just terrify them with the possibility of what's going to happen if they don't give you what you want. Because they have to consider, like, I say that all out as a joke, but it's actually very, very true, because if you start to consider the people who are player and audience facing and who have to deal with mitigating harm and with keeping the sentiment around their game and their project positive, there's like a genuine value that you can impress upon them with both ethically and financially. You can say this is important. And it's also a valid discussion to have, because if you're working with a very thin narrative budget and you work in AAA, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised or dismayed by the amount of money that marketing can give you.
Okay, so she's saying the quiet part out loud here.
Yeah, I mean, it comes across a bit extorty, right? Like it'd be a shame if someone would happen to criticize this game of yours on representation grounds or whatever.
Right, I'm kidding when I say you should be afraid, but you should be afraid.
Yeah, so Trace, being a good boy, emailed some questions to Kim Belair. Here's how she responded to this one. Quote, in short, the out-of-context quote refers, with some joking language clearer in the full presentation, to the fact that sometimes a problematic or offensive element gets missed during development, and by the time the marketing team sees it and reacts with considerable alarm, it's too late. So the idea was more about alerting the team to enact change before it's too late. We'll include the full Q&A with Kim Belair in our show notes. But you can't help but notice that this is an argument that would drive demand for her own services. She's still, like, maybe if you squint, you can understand the quote in a more innocent manner. But she's still saying, like, we provide a service that will prevent you from getting dragged on the internet, harming your game.
Do they also have a division that is responsible for dragging people on the internet and harming their games?
Well, I mean, that's sort of part of the problem.
They get the
here.
Interns to collect all of the offensive content, tweet about it, and then say, hey, we can take care of that for you.
Right. And to me, the problem is, like, in 2024, the idea of problematic or offensive is highly subjective, and it's very rare for one of these blowups to occur over, like, straightforwardly anti-Semitic imagery or something like that, like in Woodblocks. So it's just like, if people decide a lot of different things are offensive and it just gives too much power to the complainers, there's also this potential problem where it's just this one pretty small, I think, incestuous group of consultants who sort of dictate the right answers to these questions. Katie, read this other response Belair gave to Trace about the kind of work her company does.
To give an example, it might be that a company wants to portray a disabled character, but they aren't sure whether that character's experience is coming across realistically. We might be called in to talk about that and connect the team with a disability consultant who can provide some personal perspective and make the character feel more real. Similarly, we might be approached by a team who is writing a game that is set in a specific location, and what they need is ideas for environmental art, for styles of dress, for even for types of slang that might be used in the region, so that NPC barks, that's non-playable characters, that's a thing.
NPC bark is just like random voice you'll hear in the background. Well, other
totally
people aren't gamers
that.
Like you. They might not.
A lot of people don't block.
Not everyone's got to visit Steam. Yeah. Do you block, bro?
This kind of work takes on a ton of different forms, and I think the major issue we're facing is that folks have run with this idea of what they think DEI means rather than looking at it through a narrative lens and understanding that we're here to help teams tell stories they want to tell with the specificity and authenticity our teams can help bring.
So What I noticed about that is she's like, okay, you call Sweet Baby, and then we will hook you up with a quote-unquote diversity consultant. And I guess what jumped out at me, seeing these sorts of diversity consultants who get hired by, like, journalists and publishers, they tend to have, like, I mean, well, let's put this bluntly. They tend to have very specific left-wing views and a very weird, stilted way of talking.
That is such a good idea to have a diversity consultant for conservatives.
I'm just a normal crippled person, and I'll make sure your disabled characters just sound like normal fucking people.
This is what it actually sounds like when people get together at a Trump rally.
Right.
You got to be authentic.
Right. So to me, that sort of calls this thing into question, because I don't actually think a company like Sweet Baby Inc. is mostly interested in authenticity.
If they want authenticity, I'm imagining a company like this trying to authentically portray what it's like to, say, work in a kitchen, which is like one of the most racist environments you could possibly be in.
You fucking queer. And then they just start.
That's it. That's all you get for the preview. If you want to hear the rest, including the crazy stuff about the UN and killer zombies, I don't want to give it away. Just go to blockedandreported.org and become a premium subscriber. Bye.